Welcome to Let's Talk About Tests Baby, a weekly podcast about software testing, QA processes, agile, and other general geekery. My name's Jem Hill, and I'll be your host. Hello listeners, welcome to episode 13. This episode is titled, I Love Docs, I've Always Loved Docs, which is a reference to Jupiter Ascending, which is a wonderful film. It's brilliant, it's the Wachowskis, and it is ridiculous, but it's very fun. I highly recommend it. So this week I wanted to talk about documentation. I've had this episode in the back of my mind for a while, but there was some discussions going on Twitter with a developer that I know asking about tips for writing documentation and stuff, and it just kind of made me realise that maybe people don't think about documentation as much as they need to, I guess, or they should. So I decided to move this up the schedule. Also, by the time this airs, I will have given a 5-minute version of this at the Drupal user group up here in Manchester, NWDub. This will be out, that talk will be on Wednesday evening as this comes out on the Thursday. Yeah, so I love writing documentation. It's something I enjoy. Again, it's digging down to what people need and it's very methodical and things like that. So it's something that I enjoy doing. I find it is often left as an afterthought, even when we do write documentation or I am told to write user documentation. It's very much, it has to be last, obviously, because that's when all the functionality is complete and approved and no other huge changes are going to be made. But it's also just left as a sort of last thing. Even when it's written, keeping it up to date is something else that's often neglected. Or someone will just do a wiki or a Confluence and there's no real maintainer or editor and the documentation is quite piecemeal. And there's no real, like, quality check there. And sometimes it can be much harder to go and fix someone else's bad docs than just to throw it out and write your own, I think. At least that's what I kind of find. I find that I can edit stuff now. I'll edit Wikipedia and I edit other documentation, that's fine. But sometimes you end up just rewriting the whole thing from scratch. But yeah, documentation is important, whether it be for contributing to an open source project or internal documentation or documentation for your users. Good documentation is even more important. Documentation that's not helpful or unusable is probably worse than not having anything at all, because confusing users with bad documentation is going to frustrate them more than just having nothing to read and them having to learn as they go or Google for the answers or anything like that. So what goes into good documentation? That's what I want to talk about today. It's quite a big question because there's lots of different things to take into account, even based on who you're writing documentation for and why and when. I'm going to give a brief overview for the basics. I'm going to come from a non-techie point of view because I'm not a developer, and I generally write documentation for non-developer, non-techie users, so that's where I'm coming from. Those are my, not biases, but that's my experience, and so that's what I'm going to talk about. I think the main things to consider, you've got to do the purpose of the documentation, what knowledge, if any, you can assume on the part of the people using the documentation, the format, whether it's going to be printed, electronic, if it's going to be documentation or videos, tutorials, help text, even tooltips, things like that. And then formatting, which is if it's a document, are you going to do screenshots or, you know, the flow of the instructions, how they get put together, things like that. And each of those has their own considerations. So the purpose is fairly obvious. You know what you're trying to do. Are you, you know, writing documentation to tell users how to use the functionality, writing documentation for devs to use a module that you've made or API or something else? You know roughly what you need to convey and who you need to convey it to. And that's the most basic in order to write documentation effectively. So essentially it's who, what, where, when and why, which involves pretty much all of the next steps. Because different users require different knowledge and language. Devs will use different terms and different terminology to end users who aren't familiar with that and who don't need to see that kind of the parts of the code that will have that terms and terminology in. And different users will require different knowledge depending on how they interact with the system. Users from the front end of, say, a website will need, or an app, will need different instructions to people who are going to see the back end of the app or the website or things like that. If it's developer focused documentation, are there any dependencies that you need to put in? If it's for a module or an API that you've made or an app or whatever, then you've got assumed knowledge. if your docs are aimed at developers, then you can assume certain bits of knowledge or coding or libraries or APIs. You can either assume the devs will know, or that they will be able to find out if it's not proprietary or obscure. The internet is full of, you know, this sort of information to share that's been shared. So you can assume that if they don't know, they can find out, or you can provide links to those resources if you're fairly sure those resources are always going to be there, you're not going to end up with a load of dead links. So yeah, so that's kind of, you can assume that, or at least you can assume ease of that. If it's proprietary, then you have to put that in. You can't assume that knowledge, obviously. For user docs, other than domain knowledge and maybe basic sort of, the basic sort of how a web page is put together, like the home means the front page of the website, for example, or what various, if there's a WYSIWYG, what various icons in the WYSIWYG mean. Other than that, really, and the knowledge of the domain, there's not much you can assume. I prefer not to assume anything, because it's easier to skim over things than to realise they're not there. But again, that's something that is on a case-by-case basis that you'll be able to make that decision before starting, that yes, I can assume this knowledge, or I need to include this bit of basic information. Format and formatting are quite big considerations, because that, again, can inform how you put everything together. And there are pros, you've got to, again, look at the use cases and go through the pros and cons of each, because if it's electronic, that's great. Updating it is easier, it can be centralised, it's easier to transport and to send to everyone. But you need to consider who has permissions and ability to update it, how it gets updated, how often it gets updated, version control, you know, how you get the new updated versions out to all the users that have it, things like that. On the other side, you've got the hard copies, which are inaccessible to certain users. They're hard to update and review. Copies aren't centralised. Everyone's got their own copy. They're not accessing a copy online. But again, maybe hard copies are what the user wants instead of an online version of written documentation or video tutorials. You can also provide stuff on the site or the app if you're doing that sort of thing, and if it allows it, you know, help text and tooltips and sort of prompts for things that you get normally when you're first going through an app or a site or things like that. You can provide those as well, which is something else that you can consider: the formatting, how that gets updated, if it needs updating, how to make sure it gets updated everywhere, relevant, and all that kind of stuff that you have to kind of really plan for, or at least plan to give ownership to someone who can then plan that. If you're like, obviously I work in an agency, we hand that documentation over, and it's a kind of, right, this is now owned by you. We can update it, we can give you bits to update, but like, or I can write bits of chunks of how the new functionality works. But at that point, then you need to update and make sure all your users know that it's been updated and where they can find it and things like that, because it needs to fit in with your workflows. Formatting, this kind of thing from layout, context is a huge thing in documentation. If you don't have context, you're not teaching people properly how to do things, and documentation should always teach, not tell. And one of the best ways of doing that is to make sure you're actually giving context. And yes, it may mean that if you're following user journeys, you are repeating yourself, you will copy and paste the same bit of writing or say the same thing over and over again, but the point of that is if the user then realizes that to do a huge set of features, they must go through these four steps first, say. That's teaching them how to do that and how to find things, which means that they might go, well, I don't remember how to do all of it, but I remember the first few four steps. So they'll do those four steps first, and then they'll be able to find it from there. So formatting is important for context and how you lay that out, whether you do the most common user journeys and then go from to the least common and so on, or whether you just do a full-on this is how you do literally every single thing. How you lay it out is important to consider with that sort of thing. And then there's like screenshots, whether you annotate them or not, alt text, to make, especially if the electronics that screen readers can pick them up, all those sorts of things are important to take into account when putting it together. And then, kind of most importantly, I guess, although all of it's important, you've got to actually write the thing. And while I said you need to repeat things, or you may end up repeating things in order to give that context and follow those user journeys so the users know like how to find things. You kind of want to keep it short and informative, which means kind of losing unnecessary stuff, I guess. So I want to go off on a bit of a tangent to tell you how to make things shorter. We'll ignore that. I have a biochemistry degree. One of the assignments I had back in my final year, I think, or was it second year? Can't remember. We were given an article from a scientific journal, and we had to write a précis of that article. Now, a précis is summarising things. So we had an article from a scientific journal. It was about 4,500 words, and we had to sum up the entire gist of that article in 1,000 words. And it was quite hard. I managed it in about 984 words, I think. It was quite hard because we had to make sure that the context of the paper and the message of the paper was still the same, and you could still pick up what the paper was telling you. It was an informational paper. It wasn't a write-up of an experiment or research. It was kind of a review of one bit of one area of genetics, one branch of genetics called epigenetics, if you're interested. And how that rose to the fore is quite an interesting bit of genetics, and it's become bigger as people have discovered more about it and more important in the world of genetics and genetic research. And so obviously it was much easier from that because we didn't have to make sure we were given the results right, but we still had to cover the main parts of it. And so that was quite interesting to do. It was hard, but it was very interesting to do. I mean, I've not reread it since doing it. And I've not looked to see how my writing has changed and the different choices I've made. But those sitting down and going, right, I have to get rid of some of these words. It was quite a useful exercise. It's something that I do occasionally when writing documentation. I'll sit down and go, right, are there any of these words that aren't actually needed? Can I get rid of some of them in some way? Because although, again, the repeating may be necessary, keeping it short, because people skim over things. It's like that piece of advice where when you're writing fiction, when they tell you not to say the word said over and over again. The thing is, you don't notice it. When you're reading a piece of fiction, the names of the characters, if it's repeated like during back and forth in dialogue or said, you don't notice those words. You take them in to make sense of the thing, but you don't notice they're being repeated. And that's kind of the same thing here. You'll notice that you'll read them and you'll go, right, I need to do this, and this, but you won't go, oh God, again. You'll just go, right, okay, I need to do it. So there's a balance between making sure you've got the right context and you're giving all the information, but not being too wordy. And it's a hard balance to strike. And with all writing, the only way to do it is to practice and practice and practice, just like you would with any other piece of writing. It's a skill. And that's as true for technical writing as is for fictional writing, though, of course, the methodology and the skill set is different. But tightening up that as much as you can is something that you have to do by practicing. You also want, again, you want to be able to make sure that you've got context, which is given by the headings and the format that you've given it. You want to get the tone right, because you don't want it to be dry and people not want to read. You just go, no, I can't read this, which is kind of linked to the long thing. You want it to be easy to find the information that they want and just the information that they want. But you also need it to be informational and, you know, informative. And so there's a tone there as well that you can get. And finally, to wrap this up, there's a great blog post that I found whilst doing some research for this episode. And it's called Teach, Don't Tell. It's by Steve Losh, and I'm going to link it. It's a series of analogies is the word, of the different types of documentation you get and how sometimes they're not useful. Like telling a user to read the README of a piece of software, which isn't always relevant and doesn't always tell people what they need to do. And I'm terrible at analogies, and he is not, so it's really useful. So I will link that in the show notes. Go check it out. It's everything that I wanted to say, but better. And I'm going to wrap this up here. Thanks for listening. Bye. And that's it for this episode. Thank you for listening, and be sure to join me in a week's time for the next episode. In the meantime, please do check out letstalkabouttests.xyz, where all show notes will be posted. You can contact the show at letstalkabouttests@gmail.com and follow the show on Twitter at letstalktests. My Twitter is @gem_hill. If you enjoyed the show, please rate and review on iTunes, it always helps. Thanks, and bye!